So, this is kind of insane, but I'm going to do another little Saigon report. Three in a day. The subject of this is going to be debt. And this is a tough one for me because I have to be honest about my own failures, if they be what they are. And just sort of accept it for what it is. I have gone bankrupt once in my life legally, but as of right now, I would say twice. Like, I would say I'm technically bankrupt right now. My Camry, my Toyota Camry that I had, that I bought when I got off the train in 2014 in Indianapolis, which is its own funny story. I hadn't even been in a job, yet. I hadn't even started the job yet. I had a letter saying I was going to start a job and a phone number they could call. And it had been many years since my first bankruptcy, so my credit wasn't terrible. I mean, when you think about it, the singularity of 2008, my bankruptcy occurred before that. So, almost a decade before that. So I guess in a sense, everything looked better than shit after 2008. But no, I got off the train in 2014 in Indianapolis, so to speak, and got myself a Camry. And Toyota ain't what it used to be. I gotta say, it had a lot of issues, and it may be that there was an algorithm they created that if you stop making payments, things start falling apart. But actually, it started falling apart, and I was making my good payments. But no, I stopped making payments on the Camry, so it got collected by repo people in Indianapolis last January. I was already in Seattle at the time. My brother called me and told me the horrible news, and I was very sad. I mean, I'm not really that sad. If I ever buy a car again, it's going to be a used car. So, yeah, I'll be paying cash and I'll be just doing the bare minimum insurance if I ever do own a car again, which is a big hypothetical. It almost feels like an American dream fantasy to me now. You know how the American dream used to be certain things. So now it's, will I afford at some point in the future a shitty used car that I can have crappy insurance on? That's a real dream, though. But no, I've thought about this issue of debt because I have gone bankrupt. And as of right now, I really am bankrupt. I can't afford a lawyer to go legally bankrupt. But frankly, if I have another year like last year and the year before that, I mean, it really is a matter of just default and more or less write-offs because I don't even get calls. I can't even afford to pay for a phone right now. But even when I had a phone, because I had changed my number a couple times, and it's just something I do, I don't even get calls. Like, they have no way of contacting me. My email and my phone number are more or less volatile things from my perspective. Volatile meaning, they're not going to be permanent. They're going to disappear at some point. If I like you, if I know you, you'll probably get the new number, the new email. If I don't like you, if I don't know you, and you start contacting me, I'll probably switch to another email. Just good OPSEC from my perspective. But that being said, I even missed the idea of getting calls. Like the other day, I thought about contacting one of these credit agencies just to have someone to talk to, as insane as it sounds, because I am deeply in debt. So between and actually the Toyota is not so bad. Like I probably only owed about 8 grand on that. Maybe about 8 grand when it got collected, but the, maybe a little more. And then with respect to the credit card's about $25,000. And then there's the money I owe the apartment complex in Indianapolis that I left and I couldn't pay for my last month. And that's about 2 grand and change probably with collection fees. And then there's the Xfinity, excuse me, Spectrum cable bill. I think I owe them about $200. Yeah. And I know that there's some, I will say the Bible has some perspectives on this. I don't think it's clear cut with respect to debt. What I will say is this. If I believed America operated like the America I expected when I was a kid, which means, you know, for the most part, the evil get punished. For the most part, the good succeed. It's not a perfect world. There's always tragedy. But all things being equal, we lived in a society where principled, decent people were going to succeed. And the sociopaths and the murderers and the killers and the terrible people, they don't succeed. That was the nonsense I believed when I was a kid. And I've come to realize that was total nonsense. We live in a kind of game. You can't really call this free enterprise or free market, but it is a kind of game. It is a rigged game, but it is a game, and it is a game that you can play. And if you play it a certain way, and if you buy into certain beliefs, and if you support certain types of financial schemes, you can do quite well. You can end up with maybe a home or two homes. You might have leveraged yourself up to have several homes. Who knows? You might own all the homes. You might own half the homes. You know, you might have bought a home when it was, you know, 90K and now it's worth 900,000 and you think you're a genius. And from one perspective, you kind of are. If genius is to be measured in how many homes you own, then you're really quite a genius. But if it is just a game and it is a rigged game, then none of us should spend a lot of time feeling guilty about being in debt, especially when you consider what happened in 2008. In 2008, and I'm just going to summarize and boil things down. You can do your own research about the great financial crisis, okay? I'm not going to tell you all the details, because if you can't research the details, you're not going to understand what I'm saying anyways. But in 2008, essentially, the richest and most powerful people that have ever lived in the history of the fucking world got a bailout. Ordinary people wrote a giant check because they were told that if you don't write the giant check, if you don't give us lots and lots of money to go into lots and lots of dark pools to who knows who the fuck's pocket and what scumbag and how many people they murder on a daily basis or how many pedophile schemes they support, just don't ask questions is what they're saying. In 2008, we wrote this giant check to the richest and most powerful people that ever lived. Whatever you want to say about America, this isn't free enterprise. But it is a kind of game. And so if you're willing to be a scumbag, if you're willing to treat your neighbor like shit, if you're willing to buy into a fad and not really think too deeply, if you're willing to parrot nonsense and stare at your little glowing rectangle, but most importantly, if you're willing to recognize that from the perspective of the system, there is only one sin left, and that's debt. And it is, like all sins, very much advertised all the time. Think about that for a second, though. Sins are interesting from a cultural perspective. They are taboo subjects. But in America, taboo subjects have a duality, a powerful duality. In many other cultures, things that are taboo are taboo. But in America, a taboo thing is also a thing that is essentially commerce. So you'll have a kind of puritanical bullshit, even from the left, from feminists especially. Oh, this pornography is terrible. But then at the same time, these same cultural, whatever you want to call them, Marxists or freaking Frankfurt School bullshit artists, whatever you want to tell them, at the same time, we'll support art, we'll support literature, we'll support films, we'll support things that essentially are just as pornographic, but just in a more acceptable way. That the narrative is closer to being right. With respect to debt, we're sold this message, well, you shouldn't be in debt, and if you're in debt, you're a bad person. But by the same token, kids, I mean, they market credit cards, and they market checking accounts to basically kids, to essentially teenagers and really kids in college. They market massive amounts of debt. And that was true when I was in college. When I was in college, if you frickin', like, let's say you had an AT&T phone plan. I remember this. I was on an AT&T phone plan. And then all of a sudden, at a point when I'm, and this is technically when I was in graduate school in ROTC, but at a certain point, I got this credit card application from AT&T saying, you know, hey, would you like to have $30,000 of debt, essentially? I mean, that's not how they phrase it. It's credit, right? And credit is money. Well, anyways, we're taught that debt is terrible, but at the same time, we are marketed to with massive amounts of debt. We're said, oh, you know, go into debt to go to college, go into debt to buy a home, go into debt to buy a car. We're told debt is wrong, and we're constantly told you need to leverage up. And God forbid you have a low credit score. I mean, arguably, the lowest credit score you could possibly have would be zero, right? But what if that only meant you were simply not in the system? Like, for whatever reason, you gave away most of your money, you lived off the principle of friendship and community, your wealth was in people, and you knew a lot of people. Like, let's just say for the sake of argument that you had been that smart. Because in some ways, that's pretty brilliant given how corrupt the system is now. I mean, I'm not saying systems of favor is ideal, but at least in that system, what do you tax? Do you tax the 50 or 100 people someone helped in their life? Well, that'll be a little bit difficult. So yeah, you might have a credit score of zero, but you, from the perspective of from the system's perspective, you don't even exist. You're not a real person. It's kind of like the way they define unemployment. And oh, by the way, example of another kind of lie. If you basically have been unemployed for too long, you're considered discouraged. You are no longer really counted. You're kind of counted in one of the numbers, but not the headline number. And so if you were unemployed for 9 months and you no longer had any means of finding work, you're a discouraged worker. You're not counted. Think of all the Americans who have dropped off the radar of human existence, of society, in the last decade. During this wonderful time, we were told, starting in 2010, you know, recovery summer, right? 8 years ago, we were told everything was fine. The recession was over. That was a load of shit. For some people, it might have seemed true. For most people, for ordinary people, things were just getting worse. And it's true that it kind of stabilized around shitty about 4 years ago. But to say that this has been some great economic recovery, I mean, dollar for dollar, the best you can say is that we used more debt to buy ourselves a little more time. That is probably the most rational thing you can do, is you can say we leveraged up is what we did in the last decade. And so when the next crisis hits, and I don't know if it's hitting now, I got to be honest with you, I look at the economic news and I feel like it's another kind of psyop. So if you're asking me if I think things are going to happen now, who knows? A few years ago, I was certain things were about to happen and I was just completely wrong. I think the prediction game is a bit problematic. History is very strange and it doesn't move at a human pace, nor does it obey a human's desire for a certain kind of truth, okay? So no, I don't know if it's falling apart now, but do I know that empires fall apart? Yeah. Do I know that things that are badly engineered over time fall apart? Yes. Is this a really broken game that we're playing? This game that we're playing, we call it America, but is it a really broken, dysfunctional game? It is incredibly dysfunctional, incredibly buggy. It is ridden with viruses, and every time it reboots, it gets worse. That's the truth of this electronic game we're in called America right now. It is buggy as fuck. And every solution is, well, maybe we'll just write some more code. We'll add some more code debt. Like, okay, we have this really buggy program. It's really shitty, really too complicated to work. And our solution is just to make it more complex and to layer on more responsibilities, more debt. And you could say this is a long-winded rationalization. Dan is just trying to make himself feel better about being broke. Well, maybe. There's some truth to that. But actually, I have a hard time when I think about the things that actually matter, that we should actually be concerned about if we had the resources or the time. And some of these things are ethereal, like free speech. It actually matters that you have a voice. Maybe it's the only form of activism I am consistently involved in, but it is important to me. I think free speech is critical. I know sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it makes you uncomfortable. I also know that at some point in the future, virtually every form of free speech is going to get shut down, probably to the point of trying to control people's brains, you know? I just got done watching this documentary. I should bring it up really quickly. Hold on a second. I'm gonna bring it up so I can give you a proper citation. And it might be a good time to take a little bit of a break, anyways. Let's see. The Minds of Men. So, Aaron and Melissa Dykes. I'm going to turn this off. Aaron and Melissa Dykes. I don't know tons about them, but they were involved with Infowars.com and Alex Jones. They also left that organization. They seem pretty reasonable, very honest journalists. And they put together a documentary called The Minds of Men, in which they deal with things like MK Ultra, mind control, subjects like that. I only want to mention that as an aside, in this whole this whole topic of debt. But yeah, in this particular world that we live in, we are provide this in this game we're involved in, and it is a kind of game. And I think it is a game that involves brainwashing and manipulation. And The Minds of Men is a very good documentary that covers this subject. But in this game we're playing, we are driven, we are socially cajoled through all sorts of input to feel guilty if we don't have the stuff that we can't afford. You need to think about what I just said because it's kind of critical. It seems a little subtle, maybe a little weird, but it's true. We are guilted into believing. We are made to feel guilty if we do not possess things we can't afford. Now, there are some people who will say, well, Dan, that's just about setting goals and believing you can get something in 2035. And there's a little bit of truth to that. But actually, that's not what's going on in this game. This game is not saying save money so you can buy something 10 years from now. The game is saying, oh, you can put this on layaway. Oh, you can buy now and pay later. 0% till 2027 or something. So these are the messages we receive about debt. And so, no, I don't feel particularly guilty about being in debt. As a practical matter, I currently don't have any money because I've been out of work for a couple months because of a blowout at Alaska Airways. That being said, as a practical matter, I have to go to the food bank. I don't feel guilty about it. I don't feel proud about it. It's a real thing. I go there. The selection is not that great, but frankly, beggars can't be choosers. So I go to the food bank. Today is one of the days where I go. As a practical matter, I've got about another month's worth of rent saved, and then I will be homeless. But it doesn't, I don't know if that matters so much to me. It's okay. Like, I will either find work or I won't. I'll figure something out. The Christmas time, right about now, I'm not really that motivated, to be honest with you, to solve this problem. But I do know that I will get it solved, one way or the other. And if I end up homeless, whatever. It's not like the first time I've been without a home. I'm lucky enough to have a couple family members who will at least give me a sofa for a couple of days. And that's something. That's more than being in the streets. But no, I don't feel guilty about the debt. I feel stupid. I feel stupid about allowing myself to get suckered back into it because I swore it off after my first and only bankruptcy, official one. I swore it off. I said, I'll never do that again. I will never allow myself to get so buried in debt again. But the thing is, you get sold all of these arguments. I've got about 40 plus grand, almost 50 grand probably now in student loan debt. I don't have any means of paying it off. It's an abstraction to me. I mean, if I think about it, it's like, okay, yes, there might be some miracle situation whereby I start making serious whatever payments into it. And then the same miracle question comes up, and then what? I'm 70 years old and I've got my student loan debt paid off. It's hard for me to jump up and down about that bullshit. And it's hard for me to give a fuck. It's hard for me to say, oh, this is so important. And when I think about how they've debased education, how it's really just gotten worse, that it's gotten shittier. So the degrees that people have are really shittier degrees. And so I'm supposed to say, okay, I feel bad about this debased thing. I mean, I bought a bond that was supposed to have sort of like the bond market. I bought a bond that had a low interest because it was worth something. It was valuable. You know, I bought this valuable bond that had a relatively low interest rate because interest rates were just going to go lower. But then all of a sudden they start going higher. And so this bond that yielded 1.5 doesn't really compare to the one that yields 2.5, does it? So I bought into the education bullshit, thinking that it would maintain its cachet. The fact is it has not. So no, it does feel kind of egregious too, the whole student loan bullshit. And it also doesn't matter. If someone were to somehow contact me, like if a credit person were to come and say, Dan, we're going to take everything you have, it's like, I don't have that much left. And it would be like, okay, if that's it, then I might as well just pull a knife on you because this is all I have. So it's not like that's ever going to happen. This is where we're at right now with respect to debt. If you get in tons of debt, you suffer a kind of ostracism from the system. But it's not really permanent because the system knows that the system really does understand that it is a broken game. I mean, this is why 0% loans are being handed out. And God knows what some car salesmen are doing now, if they can. But this is why a few years ago they were doing these 0% car loans. I had one, you know, because they, number one, they could beef up the price of the car. And number two, they knew it was a gimmick. It's a scam. The whole thing's a scam. So in a biblical sense, if we remotely had honest money and I had massive debts to people that were just egregiously deep, one, I don't think that would ever be allowed because people simply would never be given that much credit. And two, if that were the case, yeah, I guess the punishment would be a kind of horrible outcome. So you could say, well, how bad could it be? It could be worse. I mean, I don't believe in debtor's jail, but by the same token, I don't believe in the debt system we have. So no, it's okay. I'm not going to spend a lot of time feeling guilty about debt, but I'm also not going to spend a lot of time rationalizing it in one way or the other. I frankly made a lot of stupid decisions in a short period of time in 2016 and 2017. And I guess you could say the combination of all those stupid decisions basically resulted in where I'm at today. I just don't know if I give a shit. I mean, what are we supposed to say? That somehow magically things are going to get better? If we have just gone through the worst recovery, this is what the public record wants us to believe. We've had a recovery since the Great Financial Crisis, but it is still technically one of the worst on record. So if you have this horribly anemic debt-fueled recovery for maybe 6 or 7 years, right? Maybe we got out of that last recession in 2010 or 2011. I honestly don't know, but maybe we did. I honestly don't think we ever got out of it. We've just been, you know, spackling away with the formagasket of debt. But assuming we've had the pseudo 2% recovery for about 7 years now, what happens next? If you've already got a lot of indebted people, how much more debt can you pile on to people when they're unemployed? And as far as those unemployment numbers go, they can start looking bad, or at least obviously bad very quickly, if, you know, if the news is reporting layoffs here and layoffs there and everywhere. And this will happen. I mean, yes, the news is very corrupted, but information does get out. People will know that people are being laid off at that scale. And if that starts happening when really we have kind of terrible labor employment rate overall anyways, yeah, this is... I don't know what people expect to happen. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of magical thinking. I think people believe, especially those who consider themselves members of what's left of the middle class, I think they have a fantasy. And I think part of their fantasy is, well, oh, it'll be people in China that, you know, will buy all the houses and we can just flush, you know, the unemployed Americans can just be flushed down the toilet because we'll just ship in more H-1B visa. That's a solution. Yeah, I hate to break it to you, but this isn't just about us. And also, that's not going to solve shit. So no, this debt thing is part of the game. It's a horrible game. It's a monstrous game. It is not free enterprise. You know, it's far closer to kind of like communism, but it is a game and it's fucked up. And not all the players get the same points. Some of the players get refills. Like some of the players can screw up all day and they'll simply go back to some magical source and all their tokens get refilled. Some of us get only one life. Some of us get three. This is a truly fucked up game, and it's just the way it works. If you want to pretend it's free enterprise, that's your fucking business. I know for a fact it isn't. But what it is definitely a game. And if you're willing to play by its rules, you might do kind of okay. I think your soul's going to be torn apart in the process. But if you don't care about your soul, then yeah, you can kind of do okay in this game. There's still a way to play and have enough of your plastic gadgets and enough of your shitty condo existence and enough of your fucking Whole Foods blah 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 going out your sphincter, enough kale, you'll be fine. Those are my thoughts on debt.